It's 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. A new report indicates hate crimes were on the rise in 2021.
This year's hate crimes data was quite alarming.
Dr. Allison Padilla-Goodman is with the Anti-Defamation League.
So there were 7,262 hate crimes reported for last year. 60% of these hate crimes were motivated by race. And that is consistent year after year.
And while the numbers themselves are alarming, what's also concerning is the lack of reporting.
22% decrease in the number of reporting agencies.
And we're talking some big jurisdictions
like New York and Los Angeles and the entire state of Florida.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
The U.S. now holds a suspect in the Pan Am 103 Lockerbie bombing back in 1988, a Libyan accused of being a bomb maker. Victoria Cummack's husband, John, was one of 270 people to die in the blast and crash.
Finally, for the first time in 34 years, I was hopeful that we could have one of the perpetrators come to a U.S. courtroom and hold them accountable.
A State Department official says the body and possessions of soccer journalist Grant Wall arrived in the U.S. this morning. Wall died while covering the World Cup in Qatar. Iran has executed a second prisoner for taking part in nationwide protests there, as we hear from CBS's Cammy McCormick.
Iranian authorities publicly hanged the man from a construction crane in a warning to others. The government there says he was executed for killing two security force officers with a knife. The two executions so far have prompted an international outcry. The protests have been the biggest challenge to the Iranian regime since 1979.
From California's Sierra Nevada to parts of Massachusetts, snow clearing efforts have been going on all morning.
Underneath the snow is really icy. Like, it's hard for people just to walk on it, let alone cars and stuff.
He's in Massachusetts. Forecasters say the southern plains in for a dose of severe weather that could include tornadoes. And CBS's Jim Krasula tells us there's new information today on the Health Watch.
Exposure to extremely hot or cold temperatures increases a heart disease patient's risk of dying. That's according to a new study of more than 32 million cardiovascular deaths over 40 years. The results are published in the American Heart Association's journal Circulation.
Chris Beard, the head basketball coach at the University of Texas, is jailed on a felony family violence charge. An attorney for Beard has called for the charges to be dismissed. Wall Street right now, the Dow's up 298. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3966.
Guys, 2022's been a roller coaster year, so spoil her this Christmas by giving her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all. With soft, silky, naturally nude pajamas, exclusively from Pajamagram. Sensuous and smooth, naturally nude pajamas feel just like her own bare skin. Even more alluring than lingerie, the texture and touch of these pajamas is so seductive that you'll both love the feel of them. She'll love the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all, and you'll love the way they look. Best of all, Pajamagram does the wrapping for you with free gift packaging. Order today, and Pajamagram will also include a free matching naturally nude nightie with the purchase of naturally nude pajamas. That is free gift packaging and a free naturally nude nightie when you order today. Just go to pajamagram.com. It's fast, easy, and delivery by Christmas is guaranteed. That's pajamagram.com.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, December 13th. The Human Resources Committee in Wisconsin Rapids will meet at 2 p.m. in the first floor conference room at City Hall. The McMillan Memorial Library Services Committee will meet at 4:30 p.m. in the McCourt Conference Room at McMillan Memorial Library, 490 East Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. In Portage County, the Tourism Commission meeting will be held at 7:30 a.m. in the Community Room, 933 Michigan Avenue, Stevens Point. In Adams County, the Workplace Safety Meeting will take place from 2 to 3:30 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse, and the Solid Waste Committee meeting will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. at Adams County Solid Waste and Recycling. In sports, Badgers volleyball lost to Pitt on Saturday 2-3. San Diego versus Texas and Pittsburgh versus Louisville NCAA semifinals will begin on December 15th. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until midnight Thursday morning. High of 35 this afternoon under overcast skies, southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 28 tonight, cloudy. Cloudy again tomorrow, 37. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Combobulation area, and I am filling in today for my friend Kristen Bry. And we are about to jump into a conversation here about downtown Milwaukee and its future. And as always, a reminder, if you like your show, tell your friends. We're a growing show on a growing network. And you can help spread the word. So whether it's sharing the word on social media, yammering to whoever is in front of you at work, whatever it might be, spread the word. Civic Media, As Goes Wisconsin. And as I mentioned, we are going to be joined for the next segment to talk about the Milwaukee's 2040 downtown plan. And joining us for that conversation is Tanya Fonseca, the long-range planning manager for the city of Milwaukee, who is proudly celebrating 11 years of city of living and collaborating in the city of Milwaukee. Tanya, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Dan, for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so you had some interesting news from the Milwaukee Department of City Development last week, which is beginning to unveil its downtown plan for 2040. So let's start with the big picture here. What is this plan? How is it coming together? And what has gone into building this?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for asking. So the city has a comprehensive plan which covers every inch of the city, all 96 square miles. And we're a big enough city that we divided up into different area plans so that we have a customized planning process, right? And this year, we're doing downtown, which is really exciting. And the last time we updated it was in 2010. So we do these updates about every 10 to 15 years. And they are long range. So we're looking out to 2040 so that we have that ambitious, pragmatically ambitious roadmap. So we know where we're going and how to get there. And of course, we want to make the most of this planning process and hear from anyone and everyone who wants to voice about their vision for downtown.
Yeah. So you said the last one was in 2010. I guess you could say a few things have happened in downtown Milwaukee since 2010. We've got a new NBA arena. We've got a new streetcar. We're building a new expansion to the convention center. We've kind of figured out the Grand Avenue, maybe even. So a lot has happened in the past decade plus in downtown Milwaukee. So, you know, what were some of the planning portions of that went into, you know, what we saw come to fruition and how might we, you know, be able to apply that same logic going forward towards 2040? 2040 is weird to say out loud.
I know, it is weird, but it's exciting. Yeah. So, you know, I think what's critical for planning is that we really have a lot of folks engaged, stakeholders that want to enjoy the space that we're planning, but also the stakeholders that are actively part of the implementation of it. And I think that that's what, you know, helped with so many successes of implementation for 2010, but also signals to us, because so much was done from the 2010 plan, it's time to update this plan. And downtown has a lot of really amazing partners that help with the day-to-day. And one of them, of many, is Milwaukee Downtown Incorporated, which is downtown's business improvement district, or one of them. And they approached us a couple years ago and said, you know, we've got so much implemented, it feels like it's time to do the update. And so we agreed to partner on that with so many others. And that's why we're here today working on this next plan for 2040.
Yeah, so there were some renderings of what is going to be in that plan that were shared. I know there was an article in Urban Milwaukee last week that had a lot of those plans. There was an open house held last week at the Third Street Market Hall. What are some of the highlights of those plans?
Sure. So I think one thing that everyone agreed on from the get-go for this planning process was that public realm improvements and the connections to the surrounding neighborhoods of downtown really need to be strengthened. We have an amazing downtown, but we are an ambitious group of Milwaukeeans who all really want to see change in downtown. We want downtown to be more equitable. We want more density downtown. We want it to be more walkable. We want people to feel safer and want to be able to utilize different modes of transportation beyond personal vehicles. So it's an exciting time, and I think it's an exciting time for Milwaukee in general, and it's good timing that we're doing this update for that reason. It's an interesting time, right, because we did start the process during the pandemic, but we do also have some new tools, obviously, including Zoom, that have made engagement really interesting and fun. And I think one big goal of the plan has been making it as accessible as possible. So as you mentioned, we had our third public meeting last week at the Avenue, but we also are using our brand new engagement platform online so that folks can, you know, kind of, you know, get connected at any point in time. And then we've been doing a lot of community outreach too, so we can kind of meet people where they are, which is really exciting.
What's the weirdest idea that somebody's come forward with in these public hearings?
You know, honestly, I can't say there are really any weird ideas, because I think everyone has just been so thoughtful and enthusiastic. I mean, last week I had an amazing conversation with some youth that were there with their parents, and they were just kind of hanging out around a map of downtown, and kind of got into a great conversation with them about saying, you know, downtown kind of feels like it's for adults. We want to feel like it's more our downtown too, and have more family-friendly activities and more affordable activities, or, you know, public spaces where you don't feel like you have to be downtown to, you know, spend money. You can just kind of be there as part of your civic life, which is really exciting. I also had a really exciting conversation about benches and how downtown needs more benches. There just aren't enough. Nothing weird has really popped up. Everyone is right on. And if, you know, you even go onto our engagement platform today and look at the map, there's thousands of comments where people are putting thumbtacks all over downtown with really, I think, smart ideas. And all of those are building the backbone of this plan, which is really exciting too, that we're in this era of kind of crowdsourced planning because of these new tools that we are able to utilize too. So
yeah, that's really exciting to see how many people are getting involved and getting excited about downtown. I will say, I know that there has been at least one very weird idea submitted, because I was the one who submitted it in the online platform. You know, you said there was like these thumbtacks that you can put on the map and have your suggestions. So I put a thumbtack down in the old Bradley Center lot and said that there should be a 100-foot Giannis Antetokounmpo statue next to the Fiserv Forum there. Any chance we can get that? Get that moving as part of this plan?
Well, certainly that also came up in the harbor of Milwaukee, that same idea. But we didn't see that as a weird idea, Dan. We really didn't. It brought a smile to our face. And I think just goes to show what an impact, you know, the book Bucks and the new arena and the new era of Westtown. And all of that is because, you know, years prior, there was that big idea to take Park East down and look at all of the development and activity that we now have in our downtown to celebrate about. So that's pretty cool.
Removing a highway and developing downtown. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting how that works. We're talking with Tanya Fonseca from the Milwaukee Department of City Development about the new downtown plan. Now, one of the public spaces that was highlighted in the renderings that was released from the downtown plan was one of my favorite parks in the city, which is Cathedral Square. Can you tell our listeners kind of what went into and what is being presented as, you know, some possibilities for the future of Cathedral Square Park?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, early on, we knew with the public realm focus that we really wanted to have some beautiful renderings to showcase the vision for some key streets and public spaces, which are a few of our parks in downtown. And Cathedral Square is one of them. And Cathedral Square is such an amazing active space already, right? Activated regularly by concerts and other community events. But we also want to see that day-to-day, activation. So the playground helps with that. The rendering is showing a pavilion in the space, actually, that could contain any number of things, like, say, a cafe or some other type of vendor, public restrooms, which is a very popular public comment and very understandable, seating out in there, a permanent concert stage, right? Because we don't have one. It regularly gets set up. More trees. And I think what's really exciting, too, is Jefferson Street, which is just directly west of the park, one of the sides of the park. We kind of focused on that area as well to widen the sidewalks and kind of pull the park more into that street and down into that entertainment district so that there's more space for people, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it'll be great for, you know, many of those downtown events that we all enjoy, the Jazz in the Parks, the all sorts of different things. Right now, you can, you know, there's plenty of people down there visiting the Christmas lights that are always there in Cathedral Square Parks. One of my favorite places to visit. I actually proposed to my wife in Cathedral Square Park. That's right. Yeah. During Christmas season, while there were the lights there. So there you go. Yeah. So any other pieces of this plan that you are particularly excited about?
Yeah, I think one thing that really stood out when we started our engagement was the public realm really needed to be a focus, but also growing our downtown population. So one of our key goals of this plan is to at least double the downtown residential population by 2040. So we're hoping to have about 40,000 residents in downtown, which means we need a lot more housing. And I think that that's really exciting and ambitious because everything kind of would connect to that. Like, we need more activation. We need more businesses. We need more public life. How do we do this? Well, we need more density in downtown. And downtown, as awesome as it is, I think everyone is yearning just for like a little bit more. And one critical aspect of that will be more density.
Well, I know that Mayor Cavalier Johnson, with his goal to grow Milwaukee to a million people, probably going to need to add some more people downtown if we're going to hit that number at some point. So that's a very exciting, you know, possibility for bringing housing and hopefully affordable housing so that so many different people from different backgrounds can enjoy all that there is to enjoy about downtown. So is there anything that if our listeners wanted to learn more about this project, where could they go?
Sure, absolutely. So we have an online engagement platform that everyone can go to and see everything that we showcased last Wednesday, as well as transparently all of those comments that we've been collecting through the system. And so you just go to engage mke.com/connectingmke, and it's all there, including these awesome renderings that Dan just shared with you.
All right. So, thank you so much for joining us today, Tanya Fonseca from the Department of City Development, who is working on the Downtown Milwaukee 2040 plan. Very exciting stuff there. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids, and I've got a good job.
Bye, Mom.
See you, Mom.
A pretty important job. Because of my family and my job, I really care about this neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime. And when I drive to work, like now, I realize that some people here don't trust the police. So the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you as a police officer that this department is reaching out to the community and the community is doing its part. We're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. This is how we can all be safer. Get involved. Start the conversation.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am not Kristen Bry. I am Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Kristen Bry while she is out this afternoon. And we just had a couple of terrific guests join us today. We had Evan Goyke, who is running for city attorney, join us. He's also part of the Joint Finance Committee, so we talked about some of the stuff happening in the legislature too. But I think that run for city attorney that he's making, the fact that this election is more than 2 years away, and you have a very prominent member of the legislature who's, you know, looking to jump into this race at this time, really shows you how much of a need there is for change in that city attorney's office.
It's astonishing when you think about it. And to have Evan here to talk down and really break down what it is that the city attorney's office does explain why, because we hear over and over again sometimes, Dan, about these terrible landlords who have hundreds of citations and fines hanging out there, and yet the city never seems to take any movement against them.
Right. There's so many issues that it seems like could be addressed by someone in this office. But Tyron Spencer, the current city attorney who was elected in 2020, in his first term, has not made a particularly positive impression in this term. I think there's been a ton of people leaving that office, a ton of turnover, some really weird, really problematic stuff coming out of that office. It's just every time you hear a story about Tyron Spencer in the city attorney's office in Milwaukee, it's not a good one.
No.
So, it's very interesting that Evan is running for that election. I might have a new state representative. He's my state representative. So I'm going to have to encourage one of my neighbors to run for that seat.
Step up. But isn't it interesting too, Dan, that there's nothing in place to discipline people who behave like this in an elected office. I just kind of find it remarkable that there are no guardrails on whatever is going on in there. You know, you talked about the turnover. Good heavens, we've lost like 3/4 of the longstanding attorneys that were there are gone.
Right.
Because they quit or resigned or retired.
Yeah, or are suing the office over
that too.
Sexual discrimination claims.
Right.
And it's just like there's all sorts of craziness that has come out of this office. And it was an office that if you were covering the city of Milwaukee for a long time before that, you never really heard about. Because, I mean, Grant Langley, as we mentioned, was the city attorney from 1984 to 2020. And you almost never heard about, you know, what was happening in that office. Spencer comes in and challenges that, says it's time for a change. I agree that 34 years or
a long
time to be in the same office. I made many of those same arguments about how long Tom Barrett had been in office, or however many different leaders have been in office. So time for a change. Sometimes that change is not a good one. And that seems to be what has happened with Spencer. But somebody like Evan Goyke, who has been, you know, like you said, a member of the Joint Finance Committee, is in his third term on the Joint Finance Committee, one of the more respected members of the legislature, among the Democrats in the legislature. You know, I talked to him for a couple stories that I wrote this fall about elections in the legislature. He's gotten really involved, you know, in some of the local level recruitment type stuff, getting people to run for office. So, you know, it will be a loss in Madison to have him not there if he does indeed win this election in a couple years. So I think that, you know, it's one to watch. That's for sure.
And I am always impressed by people who are willing to put themselves out there and do and try to get these jobs.
It's so important. Just showing up and just being involved and getting involved and taking the plunge to run for office. It's huge. So, you know, in a couple of years, I will perhaps be looking for a new state representative on the west side of Milwaukee to fill Goyke's seat. I mean, who knows? It'll be important for somebody to step up there as well. And so the other thing we got a chance to talk about in the last couple segments here was with Tanya Fonseca from the Milwaukee Department of City Development, talking about the Downtown 2040 plan. Now, 2040
seems so long away,
but it's 18 years away. My youngest daughter will presumably be in college or something like that.
Is that not mind-blowing?
That is mind-blowing. My daughter will be two in January. My youngest will be two in January. And so 18 years from then will be...
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, thinking about that. And I always think about, now that I'm a parent, I think about everything in terms of their lives and not mine.
Which is probably as it should be.
Exactly. So just to think about, you know, what's happening in downtown in 2040 is a little bit mind-bending. But it calls back to a lot of the work that it reminds me of a lot of the work that I did, especially when I was at Milwaukee Magazine. I was at Milwaukee Magazine from about 2014 to 2016. And I wrote a big cover story in 2014 about the many decisions that Milwaukee had to make as it applies to its downtown. And we made many of those decisions since then, and now it's time
they
to turn
actually
the page.
Came to pass.
They came to pass. It was, you know, we didn't know if they were going to approve the deal to build the Bucks Arena. We didn't know if they were going to, you know, approve the deal for the streetcar. We didn't know if they were going to expand the convention center. We didn't know if they were going to do anything with the Grand Avenue Mall or just tear it down. And now we have, you know, a lot of those decisions have been made, and I think many of them were good ones. Many of them are decisions that Milwaukee can be proud of. And many of those, you know, like the convention center still getting built down there. There's a many number of things that are still happening, but you know, I think it's a good time to be looking ahead to what downtown is going to be over the next couple decades.
You got to start in advance.
Yeah,
look down the road,
and we got to be optimistic about this, and we have to, you know, really, you know, kind of set a high bar for ourselves going forward. And as, you know, kind of with that goal that Mayor Cavalier Johnson had put for the city of Milwaukee to grow to 1 million people, you're going to have to grow downtown. That's going to be a really important part of that. So that 2040 project is really going to be one to watch going forward. We are going to be joined in the next segment by Allison Garfield of the Cap Times. She has been writing about Amtrak in Madison. I think I was still driving in, Jane. You had a chance to talk about that a little bit with Kristen earlier in the show.
Just a little bit.
And how nice it would be to take a train to Madison. So we're going to be talking about that with her after the break. Stick with us.
He'll meet you on God's Golden Show.
A progressive news talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. When you connect with an expert, getting coverage is easy and our help is free. We find the best deals, whether it's from healthcare.gov or state coverage like BadgerCare. And you can reach us in person, phone, text, or online. Honestly, it's like chatting with a friend who knows everything about health insurance. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to WisCovered.com. Paid for by Cover in Wisconsin.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
If you're an area employer, the next 30 seconds can be key to your growth and success. On-the-job training programs are available right now to assist with selection and cost to that new employee your business needs. Reimbursement for training costs, customized training plans to fit your needs, and continuous support when you need it. You hire, you train, we help pay. The first step is to contact us. Call the Wisconsin Rapids Job Center at 715-422-5000 and ask about on-the-job training programs for area employers. We'll help you build the workforce you need.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Wisconsin Health Services Secretary Karen Timberlake says she'll resign on January 2nd. Timberlake led Wisconsin through crises like the COVID-19 pandemic and a statewide hospital worker shortage. The Republican Party of Wisconsin has a new leader and a new fundraising strategy. Brian Schimming was elected as state party chairman over the weekend. Schimming will be the first paid Wisconsin GOP chair. Republicans are trying to counter the fundraising advantage Democrats have enjoyed under a paid statewide chair. Foxconn has accomplished the benchmark for $8.6 million in tax credits and subsidies. The Evers administration says Foxconn created almost 770 jobs and spent more than $77 million on its plant near Racine. In April of 2021, the state revised the contract with Foxconn and created more realistic goals for job creation by the end of 2025 to about 11% of the original plan. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until midnight Thursday morning. High of 35 this afternoon under overcast skies, southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 28 tonight, cloudy. Cloudy again tomorrow, 37. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Podcasts, and as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And as we mentioned before the break here, we are going to be joined for the next segment by Allison Garfield of the Cap Times. Allison, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. So excited to be on the show.
Absolutely. So you wrote a piece at the Cap Times last week called How Madison is Planning for Its Own Amtrak Station. Is Amtrak coming to Madison? Is this really going to happen? What's happening here?
That is the million, billion, probably, dollar question. The city of Madison, along with other cities actually in Wisconsin, but as the local government reporter for the Cap Times, I'm covering Madison. They're in the very preliminary stages of trying to bring Amtrak to the city. And by preliminary, I mean like very preliminary. They just launched a passenger rail study, which is what I wrote about last week, that would kind of narrow down a location for a potential station. So we're in early stages here, but I think folks are excited and at least City of Madison folks seem optimistic that this might finally happen.
Rail service from Milwaukee to Madison. Huh. It's seems like a pretty interesting prospect. I don't know. I would certainly be one to use that type of service. But, you know, of course, we had some opposition to that last week. Robin Voss came out pretty vocally against any kind of state support for this during a talk with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. I happened to be tuning in at the time because I am that kind of dork as well to be watching Policy Forum live streams.
You and me both,
Friday
Dan.
Afternoon.
You and
Absolutely.
Me both.
That's right. So what was your takeaway from those comments?
Yeah, definitely an interesting stance. I don't know if folks are super surprised by that. This is not the first time that the city of Madison has tried to get train travel. Back in 2010, that was a really large mission for the city and also state government. There was federal funding earmarked for it, and former Governor Scott Walker ended up killing that mission entirely, which I know disappointed a lot of folks who were behind that in the city. And so when we think about it now, I don't know how shocking it was, Robin Voss's comment saying that there will be no state funding for Amtrak in the city. But the city of Madison's director of transportation, Tom Lynch, told me that these first phases of bringing Amtrak to the city won't require any state funding anyway. They're really looking towards federal dollars to kind of finance this project, at least these first phases of it. And those federal dollars would, expand Amtrak from Milwaukee to Madison, therefore connecting the city to also Chicago. You mentioned that you would be interested in perhaps using that. I know you are not alone in that. We have gotten lots of comments at the Cap Times of folks who are excited by this prospect. So I don't know if this is something to quite worry about yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is something that we talk about even more down the line when we are further in this planning process.
Yeah, the Walker decision in 2010 is one that so many people always return to, and it still has people so fired up. So whenever you whenever anybody brings up this topic, it's still such a catalyst for a lot of strong opinions.
It is truly a divisive and controversial subject. It's one of those things where, like, at Thanksgiving, if you talk about this with your family, I'm sure like everyone's going to have a different take. It is interesting that, you know, over a decade later, we're kind of circling back to it. And I think there are a handful of differences, though, from what's happening now to what we saw in 2010.
Yeah, you mentioned that that this would more or less be driven by the federal government instead of the state government not having to, you know, go through the process of going through, you know, a potentially hostile governor or state legislature who might want to kill this project. You said it would more be through the funding through the federal government and the decision-making process at the local level of Dane County or City of Madison, or how exactly would that work out?
Yeah, that's a great question. And because we're in such early phases, I think that is something that is still kind of being figured out. But, you know, the passage of the bipartisan infrastructure bill in 2021 kind of freed up this like historic level of new funding for passenger rail service across the country, and this kind of Midwestern leg of it, from, you know, I think it's Milwaukee to St. Paul, Minneapolis area, including Madison in the middle, has been kind of identified by Amtrak as like one of those key and crucial portions of rail travel. So we have this historic level of funding available. There's $66 billion allocated from that bipartisan infrastructure bill for rail improvement projects. So one of the issues right now is there's no detailed cost estimate for what that corridor between Madison and Milwaukee is going to be just yet, which is different from 2010, where there had been earmarked federal funding, but no kind of plan for where that station was going to go. They kind of flipped it. What they're doing now is they want to get all the details hammered out, figure out where a station could work in Madison. They're looking at six different locations, ranging from like UW-Madison campus to like Monona Terrace area, all the way out to the former Oscar Mayer plant and a few places in between there. So they want to get that nailed down with this passenger rail study and then take that to the federal government and say, hey, we have this plan. Now, can we have
please
the money,
give
please?
Us the money.
Please give us the money, please, and thank you.
So from reading your report last week at the Cap Times, it seemed like there was a pretty vigorous debate unfolding about the locations of the, and you mentioned a couple of them here. You know, is there like an early favorite, or is it just way too early to be
I want to know what the early favorite is. If you have ideas, like please DM me on Twitter or something, because I want to just do a poll like of what folks are feeling right now. I've asked city officials. I have asked the kind of transportation planner for the city who is working on this if he personally had a favorite, and they are kind of tight-lipped on that right now, which is not super shocking, I guess. But I think each location kind of comes with pros and cons. I can read off the list here of the six potential areas. We've got kind of near the UW-Madison campus. There's one by the Monona Terrace, one on First Street and East Washington, which is kind of on the east side, one on the near east side to the west of Fair Oaks Avenue. You kind of need to look at a map, I guess, if I'm just saying them all out loud. It's a little confusing, which you can find on like, my article online. There's a map.
There you go.
But the site of the former Oscar Mayer plant is also, I think, at least from what I've heard from people, seems to be kind of a favorite right now in this early stage, just because that wasn't an option in 2010 because the Oscar Mayer plant was still there and they're trying to develop more around that area. So people think that could be nice. It won't contribute to like overcrowding. And then there's also one other location near the Dane County Regional Airport. I do think I've also heard that folks, former Mayor Dave Chechlovich told me that he is still in favor of keeping a station downtown. He was the one who was very involved in these conversations in 2010. I think, you know, that location of like being blocks from the Capitol, still very close to UW-Madison, you don't need to get on a bus to get to the train or whatever. I think that is appealing to people as well. So everyone has their own take. And we will just have to see how it shakes out. There will be another meeting in February held by the city when they have narrowed down some of these locations. So I imagine, I don't know, but my guess is that they'd go from six to three or so. But if you have thoughts, please let me know, anyone.
Yeah, that'll be an important decision. And I think, you know, just in general, I think one of the things that I'm really interested in right now is finding ways to bring Milwaukee and Madison together, because it seems like this two cities can so often exist in their own silos. And I think, you know, to build a stronger long-term environment in Wisconsin, I think it'd be important to bring these two cities together. There's so much economic activity, cultural activity happening between these two cities. And so often, you know, they're not always talking to each other. And I think having some sort of rail connection like this, you know, could really bring the two cities together in a better way. It's not always that fun to drive from Milwaukee to Madison. It's not, you know, and just drive that very boring 1 hour drive. You could be sitting in a train, you know, I don't know.
Taking a nap.
Listening to the podcasts on the Civic Media Network. How do you like that, Jane?
Oh, look at that.
Nice.
Whoa,
nice work in there,
yeah,
Dan.
Yeah, reading the cap times.
Reading the cap times. Reading the recombobulation area. You know, just getting some work done. You know, I took the Badger bus for a thing. I was going to Madison for work on too, and it's a, you know, there's a lot of people going from Milwaukee to Madison all the time.
It's a popular route. I think there is so much excitement about the potential for just a speedier / easier connection here, and for people like me who went to UW-Madison undergrad and didn't have a car, I like never got to explore Milwaukee. And it was always something I had wanted to do, but it's kind of a trek when there was not a super easy or quick way to get there and you don't have a car. So I think that's like a really great opportunity for younger folks and students in both of those cities to explore those places. And you're right, like it can increase partnerships between UW-Madison, UW-Milwaukee, various other, you know, the local governments. You know, I just feel like that will aid more partnership and programs there. So.
Yeah, and just building up the connections that we have between these two cities. And I think there's so much opportunity there. You know, if you think about you know, all the stuff that has been built up along I-94 into the suburbs in Milwaukee and right here where we're broadcasting from in Waukesha County, you know, you could really build that up and make those connections to Madison through this corridor here. And I think if you're thinking long-term about like places that could really grow in the state of Wisconsin, you know, we know that Dane County and Madison in particular is the fastest growing part of the state. Well, what if those fast growing, those people living in that fast growing part of the state could access the, you know, the economic engine of the state in the city of Milwaukee, could access, you know, places in Waukesha, places throughout Milwaukee County, get to the Milwaukee airport, enjoy the amenities that we have in Milwaukee as well. So I think there's just so much opportunity when you think about, you know, building those connections and rail and Amtrak is an important way to do that. And we could, you know, even building connections down to our friends south of here in Chicago. You know, we just, I think absolutely, in the Midwest, there's so much opportunity in these cities to really get something done and build these connections. So Allison Garfield of the Cap Times, where can we read this story? Where can we follow your work?
Well, you can read this story at thecaptimes.com. There are multiple stories now out about that preliminary meeting and what Amtrak in the city could mean. I want to briefly mention there would be stops on the way from Milwaukee to Madison, so folks in between there, it's beneficial for them. And yeah, feel free to follow me on Twitter. And thank you so much for having me.
Allison Garfield, thank you so much for joining us and talking about Amtrak in Madison. Very, very exciting prospect for what could be happening there. We're still in the very early stages of it. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Olivia from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really missed you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Choice for News Talk Radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Wisconsin. I am Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, and I am filling in for Kristen Bry this afternoon. And Jane, we made it to our final segment of the day.
Good job today, Dan Schaefer. Truly, it's always a pleasure to have you in.
Always a pleasure to join you here. Always good to talk to you, Jane.
I learned so much. I learned so much from listening to you and to Kristen and all the guests that you both bring in, and it's great.
Every time I've hosted this show, well, I guess this is my two and a half times this show now. I've gotten really lucky with the guests. We had some great, great guests. Last time I hosted, we had some great guests today as well.
Definitely, definitely. So we do have some news coming. You know, we've really kind of skated through the early part of the winter so far this year. That is about to change. Winter storm watch kicks in tomorrow to Thursday. For Marathon, Lincoln, Portage, and Wood counties, a mixture of snow, freezing rain, and sleet, that just lovely little recipe for slippery roads, and winds gusting 30 to 40 miles an hour. That storm system could also affect Shawnee, Waupaca, Washara, and the southern part of Marinette and Oconto counties, Fox cities. A lesser chance of seeing a mix of rain and snow, but they're talking about 2 to 5 inches of snow and sleet.
That lovely Wisconsin wintry mix,
right?
That we always hear about.
Yeah, right? That you can just slide. But I think this is part of the weather system that just hit California. And there are parts of California that just got crushed with snow.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, that's all.
I haven't been paying attention. I try to, on the weekends, I've been trying to do better about not,
being on the news too
much? Being in the news, being on Twitter, being on wherever else.
Good for you.
I get trying to disconnect a little bit more.
Well, you have two little kids.
I have two little kids. Yeah, they help with that. I'm like getting myself out of the election cycle so that I'm not locked into this stuff all the time. So I haven't heard about this what happened in California.
They got a whole bunch of snow out there, and that is going to be working its way across the country. And again, this winter storm watch kicks in tomorrow and runs until Thursday for Marathon, Lincoln, Portage, and Wood counties. And we'll have more updates for you too as tomorrow goes on, because sometimes that stuff can change.
Yeah.
Well, and trajectories can change.
Listeners in part of the state, be ready.
Yep.
It's coming. It's Wisconsin.
It is
coming.
Exactly. We can only avoid it for so long, you guys. And I always feel like the longer it takes for the weather to actually become winter, we pay for it.
I was just saying this yesterday. If we have a less intense early part of winter, it always comes back on us in February and March.
Exactly.
But then if the opposite happens, I start to think that we're out of the woods, but then we're not. That's never the case either.
I don't think that ever happens.
No, we're never out of the woods.
No.
We have a 5-month winter here. That's what it is. That's what we all signed up for.
Just recognize it and embrace it.
Yeah. Do you enjoy winter?
I don't mind winter. I really don't. I like the change of the seasons. I would be really crabby if I lived somewhere that was beautiful all the time.
Interesting.
Like if I lived in Hawaii, I had a brother who lived, he and his family lived in Hawaii for a couple of years. And every day is 82 and beautiful, which is lovely. But then I think I would feel a lot of pressure on myself to always be happy. You got to have some rainy days.
That's true.
Right?
You got to have, there needs to be at least some kind of balance.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. Too much cheerfulness is going to really tick me off.
Can't have too much of that.
No.
That's a message for the holiday season. We got to tone down the cheerfulness.
Too much jolly, all right? Just a little less jolly.
Now, I'm not a winter person.
Oh, you're not?
I'm not a winter person.
And you're a cheesehead born and bred.
That's right. I'm more or less a lifelong Wisconsinite. But I am not a winter person, and I'm not looking forward to the next few months. I'm just going to hole up in my basement and not just ignore the
world. And hide.
As much as, I was talking to one of my friends about this, and he I was about winter coming, and he's like, I think my goal for the winter is to not go outside at all.
Well, it can be done. I'm sure you can, if you can get enough stuff delivered to your house, you're never going to have to leave.
Just the walk to the car, the walk to the bus coming down the street. Nothing else, just limit the amount of time to spend outside as much as possible.
But don't you ever like, Dan, those nice, sparkly January days when it's sunny and there's been fresh snow and it's sparkling and the sunshine and looks like diamonds for about 2 days until it all gets dirty and then it looks like slush.
Yeah, I just think of those gray piles of snow that are on every street corner in Milwaukee with just like, you know, all those just dirty piles of snow everywhere. No, I you know, now that I have kids, I appreciate the winter and stuff like that more because my daughter will want to go out and play in the snow. And she's like, let's go build a snowman. Let's go make snow angels. Let's go do all the things.
Come on, Dad.
So now it's more fun. Now it's more fun than, you know, being than before. Having the joy of youth coming to this and not the jaded 30-something who just wants to get this over with and get on to spring.
You got
to
shovel it. You got to drive in it. And certainly driving in it is the worst. And remember, folks, for most of us, we've all driven in snow before. So you should remember how.
That's right. That's right. It always seems like you get to this time of year and people will drive in snow like it's the first time they've ever driven in snow.
I've never seen this before. What is this?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but hey, maybe like, you know, we had our last segment about the train. Maybe if we make some public investments in trains and buses, we won't have to drive in the snow as often.
Wouldn't that be lovely? Honestly, that drive from Milwaukee to Madison, while again, is a great stretch of roadway. My husband and I were talking about that as we were coming back this weekend, but it's just kind of boring.
Yeah.
It's not one of the most, not that it's not lovely, because I love Wisconsin, but it is not one of the most scenic stretches.
It's not a picturesque.
Not exactly. No, yeah, no, not really. So,
no, and well, I was saying I was there a couple of weeks ago for a conference. We are a one car household, so the car exists to shuffle the kids around.
Sure,
for the most part. So I was going to Madison for work. And so I took the Badger bus, and it was just nice to not have to sit in. And, you know, I left right during kind of rush hour in Milwaukee, and it's just like, oh, there's traffic here. Yeah, I don't care. I'm going to sit on my phone and do whatever.
I can relax. I can listen to music. I can take a nap.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I can take a nap. I don't have kids bothering me. You know, it's a nicer drive than having to go. But you know, that's in the future. Unfortunately, not in the present. You know, hopefully, in the future. Yeah. That's right.
And can we just remind our lawmakers that all that money isn't theirs? Because sometimes I feel like they take ownership of it. Like, this is my money and I'm not giving it to anyone.
Oh, yeah. Some people, Robin Voss, to name names in particular, you know, man, he is the most frustrating guy. He came out. I was watching that live stream that Allison mentioned in her last segment, and they asked him about the funding
shared
for
revenue.
Amtrak. Not even shared revenue.
The Amtrak.
Just about the funding for Amtrak. And he just says, no state funding. Didn't expand on it. Didn't do anything else.
No
state funding.
All right, then.
You know, it's only half the state he continues to cut out of the conversation at every turn.
And he still gets reelected.
Still gets reelected.
All right,
he drew himself the district, so that's why we get.
Well, that helps.
That helps.
We got to wrap it up.
My name is Dan Schaefer. I write the Recombobulation Era. You can find me on Substack. You can pay to subscribe. You can subscribe for free. You can read the stories. You can do whatever you'd like. Kristen will be back tomorrow on As Goes Wisconsin.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.